was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 488. We're in a little different seating arrangement because I'm on the sofa where I normally am not. That's where
our new podcaster.
That's where Pat and Mike normally like to snuggle. We have a new family member. We have Rex the Wonder Dog, who's going to be a new store dog, has joined us, and I'm sitting with him, and he's laying on me on the sofa, so I figured I'd just stay here. But yeah, he has his own Twitter page, or Twitter, page, I guess is what you call it. But I set that up for him. So look for Rex the Wonder Dog.
As well as Rex the Comic Dog.
Well, that's just the, you search for it, that is. But his name is, made the name Rex the Wonder Dog. So you'll find him. But, or Rex the Comic Dog, at Rex the Comic Dog. So.
Does Marley have a page?
She does not. So.
Damn, Marley.
I know. That's well, it's just, I didn't think about doing it, but just because of Rex the Wonder Dog being an actual comic character, just made sense to do it. But we adopted him on Monday, and when I found out his real name was Rex, I was like, well, that's going to work just fine. So, sadly, Harry's Batman costume will not fit him.
Huh. Yeah. Sadly, Colin's Batman costume will not fit him.
That might fit him.
You have to get him like a Bane costume.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He's a big boy. But, so... He's joining us for the first time. He might fall asleep. So, as Marley has fallen asleep. I guess I'm so exciting. Jeez. Well, let's get things rolling. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Pat.
Dave.
Mike. You're laughing at me saying Pittsburgh?
Yes.
It's because I say it in jest, and now it got incorporated into my lexicon. News. I didn't see any news. I wasn't really paying attention. I was busy adopting a dog.
Santa came.
Yeah, good job, Dave. Yep. Good job. You did
Dave
a good job.
Job. Yep.
Thank you. That's why I have my mask on, because when you visit every house.
Right.
In the world,
fair enough. I get it.
On one night,
I get it.
You never know.
Anybody get any comic related gifts? Or your favorite comic related gift? I know you got a, like, 12 trades or whatever.
Yeah, and then I get the Flash Menopole statue.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
I didn't know who got that.
And then my brother and his wife also got me this Ninja Turtle that's made out of, like, spare random metal parts.
Okay.
They got, it's called The Artist Steel. It's on the strip in Pittsburgh.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
I got something. It's not comic related, but I'm a huge Humphrey Bogart fan, so this will play into what I'm talking about.
Cool.
So we go to my dad's, and I'm with Benjamin and Luke, and Luke hands me this package wrapped in newspaper with twine. I'm like, what the heck is this?
More pens?
I'm like, no. So I open it. If you've ever seen the Maltese Falcon,
yes,
that's how
it's. Okay.
It was the Maltese Falcon.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, Benjamin.
What is the Maltese Falcon? Well, this is more from the movie than the book.
Yeah.
It's what dreams are made of.
Benjamin really put an extra effort this year and got me a encyclopedia on Stephen King books that was used in a bread bag. Yeah.
Mm. Like, when you say, like, used, is it like a crack down the middle of the thing?
It's got some issues.
You can tell, yeah.
It's got some issues.
Well, I can't yell at my son, but last year, to get him reading, he's been watching a lot of horror movies with his buddies. So I got him Night Shift, Stephen King Night Shift, and I got him at Barnes & Noble. They had this big fancy hardcover with Carrie, Salem's
Lot. Yeah, the collection.
Yeah,
the three.
Yeah.
And so as I'm unpacking and organizing all my books, I realize I am missing those three books from my Stephen King. There's no Carrie, there's no Shining, and there's no Salem's Lot. And I know I had them, but I don't know where they are. So I'm like, I'd really love, that hardcover I gave you last year, I'd really love that. Well, he didn't. He got me two paperbacks of, I think, The Shining and Salem's Lot. One looks used. Hmm. I'm like, I honestly was just hoping you'd regift me that. I was really trying to make it easy on you.
Really okay.
But he did say, he mentioned he read one of them, maybe Carrie. So that made me happy that he actually read one.
Yeah.
He's just not a reader, which kills me, but I can't make people a reader.
They might just get it into later in life.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, but I didn't get any comic. Well, I mean, of course I wouldn't. You
know. Because he's very like into sports and things and stuff like that too. It's like
But just the fact that he was, I'm trying to get him reading. Just in general, I don't care what he reads.
Shame Penhall stopped printing letters.
Exactly. Carolyn got me one thing that was funny. I guess it was Half Price Books. They had a mug and it was Shakespeare insults. Mm-hmm. On it, and that was funny. I won't use any of them on you. That would be mean.
Yeah, we're not mean around here.
You're not mean around here. God. They were roasting me before the podcast. Poor Dave had to earmuff.
It's true. That's why we wait till right after Christmas. It's too late for them to do anything about it.
Yeah.
We'll forget by next year.
Okay. Oh. It was an empty box you knocked
over. I'm not used to sitting here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's a little pressured over here.
Mike's having trouble with the chair.
I am.
That sitting sure is hard.
My back doesn't like it, so I'll be moving a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's all good.
That's okay. I mean, you're welcome to sit next to.
Rin-tin-tin. That's all good.
Rex. He's Rex.
Especially since you've been telling him to bite him for the past like half an hour.
Well, he said he was afraid of German Shepherds. So.
So that's what you tell somebody who doesn't like German Shepherds. Yeah,
he's not going to bite you.
That's what they always say.
That's true.
Just before they bite him.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about that.
Oh yeah, he's definitely a biter.
Yeah, we had a blast Christmas watching all these movies. Unrelated, you know, not like before Christmas, we had watched a ton of Christmas movies, like all the Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christmas Day, I'm like, well, Better Off Dead, wasn't that was like took place around Christmas, didn't it?
We watched Fight Club.
Nice.
Yeah, again, so, not really Christmas.
No, but yeah, we had fun.
Very festive.
Yeah, Christmas Day. Well, first we did watch Christmas Story. We watched, you know. You had to watch that on Christmas Day. And then, Better Off Dead, Valley Girl, only because one actress that was in Better Off Dead was also in Valley Girl. So she's like, wait, she was in Valley Girl. So we watched that. Then we watched Ted 1 and 2. Ted 1 was very good. Ted 2 didn't need to be made.
Yeah.
There was no need for that one. But I enjoyed Ted 1.
But at least now you know what a Thunder Buddy is.
I do know what a Thunder Buddy is. Yeah. I know what a lot of other things are, too. Yeah, overall it was good. And then, Monday morning, Christmas Day, I had emailed the shelter about him. And they got back to me. And Monday morning I called and we drove out. That's a deep creek, so. We brought home a dog.
Well, good.
Good Christmas present.
I was going to say, that's the best Christmas present. Yeah,
I'm very happy. So if you come by, make sure you say hi to Rex. The other good thing is I have my last rehab is Monday, so I won't be missing any more time on Wednesdays.
Colin will finally be out of rehab.
Yeah. But it sucks, because I basically...
Two relapses and...
Well, yeah. But between rehab, cardiac rehab, and getting there and getting back, it's been like 2 hours every Wednesday, and it's just... I mean, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but Wednesday being that's not a day I really want to miss a chunk of the day. You know, I want to see people and talk to them and stuff, so. Getting that part back, but then I'm gonna have to go to the gym like at night because I can't just end up being a couch potato because that would undo my 12 weeks of work. So,
but you have 50 plus years of.
Well, it is, but I've been good about exercising 3 times a week for 12 weeks.
Okay.
I don't want to let that all go because it's not like I've seen weight drop or anything, but I probably am a lot better off than I was. So. Yada, yada, yada. News-wise, I don't remember any news. I know all the publishers are closed. Marvel and DC had nothing on FOC this week because there was no reason.
Marvel kind of announced their summer event.
Okay.
For next...
Marvel's having summer.
Well, I saw they have something like War of the Banners or something.
Well, the one I saw was Judgment Day.
Okay.
With Avengers, X-Men, and Eternals.
Okay. And Dan, isn't something going on with Fantastic Four? Jermaine's going to be screaming at the radio. But
the radio?
Well, you know, however he's listening to it. I listen to it in the car, so I yell back at the car when people were saying something wrong. I have masks at the counter if you want one.
I'm okay.
Okay. You're fidgety. No. I guess Slott's been... had teased something in She-Hulk years ago, and it's finally coming to fruition. I don't remember what that was called.
Reckoning something? Okay, it was in the last previews.
Oh, see, I don't read the Marvel previews anymore because we don't do the initial orders. So the first time I see all the Marvel and DC stuff now is FOC. It's like, well, that's probably not good.
I saw a rumor that...
That's one of those things that you're going to fix in the new year, right?
It's part of what my goal this year.
Yeah, but I saw a rumor that... That Hickman might take over the Spider-Man writer, because I guess the whole Beyond thing's supposed to end in like March or something. Okay. I think.
Can't wait to talk about last week's Spider-Man.
Yeah. But I hope that's not true.
Okay.
Like, we don't need like an eye on
Hickman.
Spider-Man.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think
he's a big picture guy, and Spider-Man's not a big picture book, really, really. And they did worldwide and all that, but I don't think we need that stuff.
Did you guys actually see the Spider-Man movie yet?
I did not see it. I'm sorry.
I saw it.
And Dave, he went to everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. If Dave could have saw it on his busiest week of the year,
give me one more. My only concern is now that we have the new dog, I don't know that we can leave.
You're not
going. Leave all the dogs.
Yeah, you're not going to get saved. You're not going.
Okay, well, next week you can talk about it because I'll walk away. But right now I can't get out. I'm trapped. Okay. Yeah, so news-wise, I don't remember anything else.
No rain, sir.
What?
No rain.
No, it was funny. And some James, I think, did tweet saying it's my last chance for a rant for the year. But I'm going to go the opposite way.
Oh, man.
And because I was talking with some buddies, and one guy was... venting a bit about DC's previews, when you go through the DC previews, and it's all really weird crossover events going through unrelated books, and one of those things that's impossible to order right. And I don't remember the specifics, but it's, you know, like crossing over Batman and Teen Titan Academy. Well, okay, Batman I order 85 of, and Teen Titan Academy I order 6. You know, how do you order when it's part one in one book and part two in the other? So he was ranting a bit about that they're just making stuff up at this point. It looks like for the sole point of sales versus story and, you know, ideas. One thing that I said, 2021, we were all really still in survival mode from the pandemic, you know, just trying to get things going, and then new distributor with Marvel and just chaos, and we were all just really hanging on by the, you know, seat of our pants. And, you know, survival mode for me was, you know, a little more dramatic. You know, I was trying to survive.
Literal survival mode, yeah.
So my goal for 2022 is to get more tuned back in to everything, pay more attention, you know, read all the big thing for me is just reading all the publisher emails to see what all's going on. The reason I don't, and the reason nobody reads the publisher's emails, is they're 99% of them are just fluff. You know, you're not going to want to miss this book, blah, 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 blah. Okay, there was no benefit to me reading this, you know, this email from you, because it didn't tell me anything I needed to know. But I'm going to do my best to read every email, read more of the PDF so I can have an idea of about a book beforehand. Like Good Boy, I'd read the PDF before we even ordered, so I knew that was good, a good book. I need to do more of that.
Good Boy.
It was a good boy. I don't know if you saw my video. I had fun with the video this week. I did Marley's Top 11, and then I left, I had Rex. Rex's two were Good Boy and Stray Dogs. And nobody knew who Rex was, unless you follow me on Facebook personally. Because I didn't even post about him, but Carolyn did and tagged me. So nobody was going to know about Rex. But yeah, I just want to get more, and I want to get more in tune with the store. A lot of this, especially, you know, the 7 weeks I was out, was just, you know, I was doing orders from home, just looking at the raw data, but I had no idea what was going on in the store, and I got really detached from the store. And really, the rest of the year has just been keeping the train on the tracks, and there wasn't anything new being done. You know, Pat was refilling the back issues, stuff like that, but we weren't really doing anything different. So I'm going to try to do some stuff.
Try to spice it up?
Well, not spice it up, but change displays around, move stuff around, try to come up with some more creative ways of getting rid of stuff. Like, there's a store in, I think it's Ontario Street Comics in Philly, where the guy, I followed a bunch of stores from this one Facebook group just to see things that they're doing and stuff, and I had to unfollow some, especially at Christmas time. This one guy, I think it was last year, every hour was posting an item. You know, like, oh, this book's cool, this book, and it's like, oh, that's all my feed was. I'm like, enough, you're killing me, and your customers are saying enough. But every, he'll come across, and it's like, oh, I have 3 copies of this back issue. You know, $5 each for, you know, let me know, you know. And so that's why I've been doing the deal of the day.
Yeah,
just a way, here are trades I have 4 copies of. Let's blow them out. So it's just been fun. And little things like that I want to start doing. That's why I started doing the back issue of the day that I had Pat doing. Just to make things fun, just to try.
Yeah.
I want to do, and then I want to try to separate the brand on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and do different posts on each. So lots of ideas, lots of things I just need to implement. So we'll get there. But that's my goal for 2022, more than just keeping the train going forward. So, and I do that, and then I adopt a dog that's taking up all my time because I have to sit on the sofa like this, and it's hard to do stuff.
Which we know you're complaining about.
I'm not super complaining about, but like I'll be sitting with my laptop on the in the recliner, and the cat will wanna be sitting between my legs. You know, it's like, okay, I'll put the laptop down. Okay, you know, because you know, gotta be good to your animals. Okay, they are both asleep. This is pretty awesome. So that's my comic plan for next year, is just and read more. I was doing real good for a while there. I was reading like 10 a week.
Yeah, you were doing pretty good for a while.
So I'll get back.
But you did hit your book goal, though, didn't you?
I did. I did also hit my book goal. My goal was my New Year's resolution was to read one novel a month, and I made it. I did miss June because I was moving, but then I read 2. I made up for it.
You had a lot of free time in July.
No, my problem with July was inability to focus. And it was funny. Okay. I was talking to a friend of mine who had knee surgery, and he's like, I just can't. You know, I'm trying to read stuff, and I just can't. And the best thing for me in July was the Olympics.
Okay.
And just being able to stare at the TV, that was fantastic. Sadly, I had all the time in the world, but I just didn't have the concentration. So that worked out well. That is Rex snoring. So that's my goal. You guys are going to buy more this year, so that's awesome. I appreciate that. and we do have a question.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. From Justin Ludwig. I did find it's J Ludwig is his is his Twitter handle. And it's like but then on Facebook it's Justin. In the 10 years since New 52 and more or less Marvel Now, what have you enjoyed the most and what was not enjoyable? And then any new books you enjoy or dropped since then?
I've completely stopped reading Marvel, and I read DC superheroes almost exclusively. So if that's any indication, like I literally just dropped off the cliff with Marvel.
But I think even with DC, that's somewhat unfair because they've rebooted with Rebirth, which brought back a lot of the continuity that existed before New 52.
And then even everything after, like, Death Metal and everything, that was also kind of like another
soft reboot. I do feel Marvel has been a bit more of a mess in that regard, where it's like, oh, 12 issues, oh, we're new starting, and
that's a constant reboot of issue one.
Yeah, like we're getting a new number one Daredevil, you know, coming for no apparent reason other than because.
Well, I stopped reading a lot of it because I was tired of the constant crossovers that just made no sense. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like at this point, I'll read Moon Knight and Punisher because I know those two characters will not cross over.
Punisher's getting a new logo. Are you sure?
Are you sure you're still gonna read it?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Have you seen the logo though?
I have seen the logo. Still okay with it.
It's a logo. And then somebody posted on Twitter all the different logos from, like, all the different creators. Mm-hmm. And they have all been different.
Yeah.
You know.
I tend to agree cops that wear the Punisher logo really miss the point of the character.
You're trying to take out the Mafia, man.
Yeah.
No.
Really not it. But, okay. We'll go with that.
I liked a lot of New 52 stuff that where I thought it was outside the box thinking with Swamp Thing and Animal Man.
Yeah.
Also, like, I Vampire, I loved. And so I liked the idea behind that, but then I think editorial just botched the whole thing.
I liked it as, you know, not a new reader, but someone jumping back on having been off comics for so long. It made it a lot more accessible.
It
did.
It was a huge jumping on point for lots of people, especially like those 90s readers and stuff coming back. Yeah. No, it was great for that because it was a clear start here. Yeah. That was nice and easy. For me as well, they made the books returnable so we could order without fear so I could have those extra number ones to put in people's hands.
Well, and you over-ordered to the point where months later I was able to get like 5 and 6 issues at a dollar box. Yep. Well, like The Flash and there was like 3, and I don't remember what the other 2 were, that I really enjoyed that I probably wouldn't have picked up otherwise, other than you ordered them, they were sitting there, and it was like, okay.
No, as far as marketing, I think they did that fantastic, where Marvel is a mess. Because I'm seeing stuff where I see people are posting covers to Marvel issue 5. Number 1's not out yet. Slow your roll there, guys.
Yeah.
And just the debacle—I don't want to say debacle. That's not fair. But this 10 lives and 10 deaths of Wolverine, and we're ordering so far ahead on this, we don't even know what's going on. I don't even know what the book is. I've said Marvel needed and still does just a hard reboot, and not just—because they say they'll never reboot like DC did, but like right now we don't. You know, we just got a new Black Panther. We don't have a Captain America right now. I don't know what's going on with Iron Man. It's just everything always seems to be
That's
in flux.
Have Iron Man wake up and then go, oh wait, no, it was all a dream. And then from like the last 7 years since he wasn't really a Stark forward, really. Oh, yeah. So it was like since just on this side of Avengers versus X-Men, I think.
Well, it's funny because they've had opportunities to do it.
Yeah.
Like with Avengers versus X-Men, where you had the Phoenix that could have done anything. Or when you did Secret Wars, you could have come back and reset everything, and they didn't do it.
And they've done, like, weird stuff from that. Like, we still don't even really know how Miles came from, the Ultimate Universe to the main universe.
Do. One pizza, two pieces smashed together. Some topics fell off.
Thanks, Pat.
One topic stayed on.
But nothing. Yeah, it just. I don't know.
So Miles is in.
Oh yeah, he's.
Oh yeah,
he's
been in the Marvel
continuity.
Universe for years.
Yeah.
For like a decade now.
Yeah. Wow. But now my problem after reading.
And he's like a teenager now.
Avengers Forever and Timeless is if you watch Loki, it's making it sound it look like. They're going to try to do something where, you know, everything's going to end up being different and it's going to affect the whole line. It's like, no, don't do that. No. But I'd love to have all new number ones of all the books and just a clean, like, I'm tired of Captain America being on the run, which Wade did that. Then Coates just did that. It's like, can we have Captain America be a hero again? And I haven't read the new Black Panther. I'm hoping it's more established and it's not Black Panther in space.
Quite honestly, though, it's an outdated concept.
What?
Captain America
is a hero?
Yeah. Someone wearing the red, white, and blue, it had a much different impact.
It did, but just...
than, even in the 60s, I'd say, than today. Because I don't see there's any way you make that... Even now, he's gay. It's this. It's going to be way too politicized with that character. You put him in the red, white, and blue, you're asking for trouble.
Captain America's gay?
There's a gay Captain America.
Yeah, well, they just did, the many United States of Captain America or something.
It wasn't Steve Rogers in the 616 universe. But the news will never tell you that. Not that anyone would understand. It was just, they've turned Captain America gay.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. It's, you know, it was like all the hubbub with Alan Grant or Alan
Scott.
Yeah, Alan Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they made Green Lantern gay. No. It's a character from the 30s.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't going to make gay comics up back in the 30s. No. Yeah, but I think...
But
there has been good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's been hit or miss. I mean, even like some of the Star Wars stuff Marvel's done has been pretty good. Some of it has not been. One of the problems I had with the original series when it first came out, it felt like they were trying to cram it into the movie continuity, which didn't always work. But when they stopped doing that with books, I just tell the story you want to tell. It can work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like especially New 52 had just a lot of editorial stuff that just really tanked a lot of the books. And how Rob Liefeld ended up with 3 books, I still don't understand.
Because he's name recognition.
Well, I'm kind of glad Bob Harris is no longer there, because I think that was a lot of it. Him and Scott Lobdell getting so many books.
I've loved a lot of the off-kilter DC stuff of the past.
Yeah, and years. That's
Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. Yeah. I really like Dow H for Hero.
Just like a guy
Wonder Twins.
Bought Omega Men. You know, Tom King let him do something different. And I think that's what overall we need more of. I mean, we still need the Batman and Green Lantern, it's those little side books that are fun. You know, Human Targets.
Yeah, Snagglepuss. Human Targets. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess the problem is they're probably not the best sellers, you know. But
not every. Neither is Aquaman.
Yeah. Yeah. We got 2 Aquaman books today. I'm like, and neither of them were Aquaman, because it was Aquaman. Well, it was Aquaman Green Arrow, and the other one was the Aquaman The Beginning or The Becoming, which is about his son. It's like, okay.
So you're gonna read Deep Impact, right?
I'll read that for you guys. Yes.
That's penance.
I'll put it at the top of the pile.
Shame. God, shame.
Issue 2 was so bad. That's what I'm sure a lot of, and some of it has probably happened also with Marvel. Like the young X-Men, why that wasn't just a story arc would have been, an arc would have been cool. It went on for like 3 years and just got to be a mess. They have a bad habit of that, where the beta, like, I think that's part of the problem they're having with X-Men right now, where Hickman had an idea for an arc, and it was, you know, part 1, part 2, and part 3, and they're still stuck in part 1, because they, well, let's do this, like, no, I'm trying to move it forward, and then Hickman just left.
But they don't write stories organically, they're driven by marketing, period.
Yeah.
That's their whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and maybe I'm wrong, but, like, the idea of a Spider-Verse... That was something that's kind of come up more since then, and that's been a really fun idea. You know, we've already gotten multiple movies of that now at this point, and both of them have been very good. But in the comics, it was a lot of fun, where they had, Morlin and his dad, Scuba Steve.
Yeah.
But I forget what his dad's name was, but he wore a big scuba tank, so it was Scuba Steve.
I think it was one of the brothers.
Maybe it was one of the brothers. But you know, like, so they've had good ideas, and sometimes
Bye, Tim.
You know, it's sometimes it's just bad execution of a good idea, or taking a good idea and running with it for too long.
Like with like the Spider Giddens, and like there was like 2 or 3 other like Spider-Verse.
Like Spider-Gwen was a good idea, but they turned into Gwenpool
Yeah. Well, Gwen, the fact that Gwenpool came from variant covers, it's like, okay. But I know people enjoy her. Took the idea and ran with it, which is neat.
But
as opposed
Deadpool has always been a character that could break the fourth wall anyway, so it makes sense that that character would come from a cover.
Yeah. So. And then I had a comment a few weeks ago from a customer that I just kept forgetting. They wrote it on a post-it note, but He read the last issue of Flash, and he felt that it was the stupidest issue ever. And I don't know. I didn't read it, so I put that out there to
What was his reasoning for the stupidest?
I just think he did not like the whole turning the book around. Just
the fact that they were trying something completely different, completely new. Props to them. Whether you like the story or not, that's a different thing. But for somebody to do something innovative like that to possibly get somebody interested, kudos to them. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fantastic.
It's busy because, like, you know, it's probably just like that issue thing. And like the new issue that came out today, I haven't looked at it, but that's probably not like there's more, you know, more of that. Like,
well, whoever this person is, make sure they didn't read Nightwing from last week.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they probably won't like that. But that was even more innovative.
Yeah.
I was just like, I really like that issue. So yeah. We'll talk about
that. The Nightwing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
So well, Dave and I have best of and worst of.
Go for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'll just go down the list.
It would have been nice had you, like, put out the categories to everybody so we could all participate. But you know what? Screw us. That's cool.
He did it last week.
No, you didn't give out, like, categories what you want to talk about.
You can make your list for
you
next
week. You can make
week,
your Pat. List right now.
I'll just chip in whenever.
Yeah.
Whenever
yeah.
I have a witty comment.
That's stupid. That was stupid.
All my comments are witty.
Okay. Yeah.
Worst. Just anything from Bad Idea. ENIAC. That was just wrong on so many different levels, and all the aggravation, all the BS that you
I didn't read
through.
Any. Well, I read the first issue of ENIAC, but overall, yeah, I'm not a fan.
But what was bad about that? Was it the books themselves or their business practices? But I mean, were the books themselves that bad?
The people love them. The people that got them love them.
Okay.
So
I wasn't a fan of ENIAC, and I read the first three, and I got, was it four issues?
Yeah.
I didn't even read the fourth one.
I mean, it felt overhyped.
Well, that's where it got good.
Did it? Oh, damn.
It felt overhyped from the beginning. But, I mean, if the books were good, they were good, then whatever. But, yeah, if it was clearly made for a speculator market while declaring they're not for a speculator market.
And that's what it was for, yeah. The other one for me.
This kind of sounds like the Fair and Balanced News way of doing things.
The other one for me, which was huge hype, was Keanu Reeves on Berserker. Okay. It was just like his own way of making him Wolverine. And in a very boring, boring way.
Oh, see, I've been enjoying Berserker.
I just, nothing grabbed me at all about that book, and I just kept going like, oh, this is just so they can get a Netflix deal or a movie deal or whatever. And that's what it felt like to me.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely what it probably is.
All right. Anything that AWA apparently really hit it out for
you
me.
You hate that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Erratic was awesome. Maniac from New York was awesome, except for the last issue.
Yeah, you guys didn't like how that one ended.
Noctera, I thought was really good from Snyder and
Tony Daniel.
Did you see you got him and Capullo's book is in this previews?
Grant Morrison did really well with Proctor Valley Road.
I just bought the trade.
Oh, okay. Let me know what you think. And Scotty Young, Nice House on the Lake. That's Me, You, and Love in the Dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't that get, like, hiatus, or they did
That's the, yeah. But my favorite book of the year for me was The Wrong Earth, Night and Day. Because
Ahoy?
Yeah, it's Ahoy. And it's like, none of these are like DC
or
Marvel.
We love Ahoy, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Dave loves Ahoy.
Yeah.
Dave has stock in Ahoy.
But I just thought, I mean, it's like the funnest book I think I've read in a long time. And it's just like Dragonfly, Fly Man, Woman, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Lady Dragonfly Man.
Yeah, and you're just like, really? And I'm like, okay. But that's what I got.
I did a top five, and these are the five books I thought, as Coach Tomlin likes to say, above the line.
I don't think he's saying that very much this year.
Well, he says...
Or that line is real low.
He says that.
Where's
but,
the line?
He says that, but, you know, they're not... Well, now the evidence they're doing it. Okay, number five, Department of Truth. This is 5-1. Department of Truth. 4, Second Coming, Only Begotten Son.
Yeah.
That was great.
I gotta finish that. I never finished that.
Nice House on the Lake.
That's been good. I don't think I read 6 yet. Or did 6 come out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 2 is Crossover.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't put it on because it didn't start. It was like number 2 or 3. And I'm like, oh, can I not do that? But Crossover is like the book for me. Like
my
enjoyment.
My number one book of the year.
Archie Winter Spectacular.
Yeah, and you blew it for me. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fitting. Marlene Rex here. Stray Dogs is my book of the year.
Good.
There's a new one this week.
Yep.
Yes.
It's a two-parter. Yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, they're all the books I thought really surprising and unexpected and solid stories.
Have you seen the variant cover for issue number 1 from Scotty Young?
Mm-mm.
It's a dog with Pennywise face, and it says Stray Dogs in the blood out of the dog. It looks really cool. I'll have to find it.
And for my worst, we'll talk about that in,
oh dear,
when we do the reviews.
Brandis! Brian Brandis!
Oh my! Brandis! Oh my.
Man.
Well, what was your worst? Oh, you already talked about your worst.
You did.
Okay, so I'm going to say a writer that I really liked, I think, has really fallen off this year's Tom King.
Yeah.
Rorschach was not good. And it was really disappointing because it was a book I really looked forward to. I thought there were a lot of possibilities with it. It never really went anywhere and didn't stick a landing because I didn't feel like he knew where to go with it.
That's nice.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. I feel like Tom King is just trying to get like too cute with his writing. Like,
is he doing too much, you think?
No. Like just like with the Rorschach. Like, he was... And I get wanting to try to do some new things, but it's like... It get in the way of actually telling the story. Like, there was like one issue where he had 3 different storylines going on at the same time on each page.
Yeah.
And it'd be like a line going through for each one, so you could read it... All 3 of them separately. You could read one all the way through, go to the front, read it. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you know, you're trying to do too much. Like, that I haven't read it, but like that Human Target seems like it's just like a story. Like, you know what I mean? There's no thing like he's trying to, you know, pull with it.
Well, and that's so when you go back a couple years when he did Mr. Miracle, there were like just a lot of little. Character moment type things where you go, wow, that was really fun. It added something to it. It was an interesting way to tell the story, whatever. Rorschach, who is an interesting character, but it wasn't about Rorschach. Like, it really wasn't. And that's, you know, it was just disappointing. Because for a guy who has taken Kite Man and made him an interesting character, when you have somebody that's already an interesting character, to think what he would have been able to do with it if given free reign, and it's a Black Label book. He pretty much has free reign.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about continuity. You can be a little more graphic than they're going to let you get away with the regular DC books. He really could have done whatever he wanted, and I just felt like it was directionless. It doesn't mean everything he's written's been bad, because I've enjoyed the Batman Catwoman book so far.
Is that 12 issues?
It's 12 issues.
Okay.
It can get hard to follow at times, because you're dealing with multiple timelines, but he's not trying to do too much at once, I don't think, where he's trying to be cute about it. And as I said, it's not that all his writing's been bad, but, you know, where it used to be, if he was writing a book, that would be the first book I'd grab. Now Mark Russell's the first book I'm going to grab.
Yeah.
You know, where you take a book like My Bad. I can't wait to read the 3rd issue.
Have you seen the cover?
Yes. Yeah. And it was, you know, I probably... If it wasn't for Mark Russell, I probably would not have picked up number 1. But after reading that, I'm like, oh, I gotta read the rest of it now. It's
absolutely
so good.
Yeah.
You know, what he did with Only Begotten Son, obviously, you know, it was really good. I don't know that I've read a bad Mark Russell book.
Spencer?
Just kind of like the same, like we've talked before. Like, I thought, like, you know, Tom Taylor has, you know, hit it out the park again this year. He has a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I've been enjoying Nightwing. Totals have been good, you know. Even Spider-Man I've been enjoying for the most part. And I don't know about bad.
Is there any books you dropped this year?
Not really. I've just been, like, pretty much, like, naturally just kind of cutting back, like, trimming. There hasn't really been too much I've haven't dropped because of like, quality. It's more of just, like, more budgetary and, like, I want to read that, but I'll wait for it to come on to trade or, like, I find, like, a lot of, like, miniseries now. I kind of just, if it's a miniseries, I'm just like, well, I'll just wait to trade or...
It's like, I tried Superman, Son of Kal-El.
Yeah.
It's so
dry. I didn't...
It's so dry.
See, I'm not a big Superman guy, so I really don't, like, you know, so I'm not really invested in it. So that's, like, one of the, Taylor that I haven't, you know, haven't read, but...
Colin?
Oh, I don't drop any books. No, I've had a bunch of surprises, and mostly recently, so thinking back to February, I think I'm useless, but I've enjoyed the ones that I had no expectations for that surprised me, like DC versus Vampires right now, and The Dark Knights of Steel have both really surprised me.
That's the medieval one?
Yeah, where I had really minimal interest in it, but really, really... surprised me with how good they were. I heard Task Force Z, this issue, is really, really good. Jermaine really liked it. So that one had a start, but the second issue was really good.
See, I didn't pick up The Dark Knights of Steel because I felt like it was too much of a gimmick. And that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah, no, but it's been interesting. I mean, it's basically like an Elseworlds story.
Yeah.
But I thought the first two issues were excellent. Worst book of the year, I think you all know.
No, don't say that. No.
You still have to read it.
They might nail the ending, so I don't want to completely
How do you stick
it.
The landing on that one?
But,
it's all going to come together.
Somehow, it's going to get good.
So Marley.
Does it have green in the
It thing? Does. It does, and it has a water guy. But yeah, Aquaman, Green Arrow, Deep Threat has not been...
Target,
whatever. He's not been good.
But we'll have an issue of review of number 3 next week.
You will.
From Colin.
You will. I will force myself to get up at 3 a.m. to go down and read that. As I'm sick.
Well, but that's okay. You gotta do something.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll put you back to sleep.
But,
it's like Ambien on paper.
Yeah. But man, I was looking at all the books I have at home. Like, I just need to bring these back. My God. I always mean well. I take home books to read, but God, you know, when you take home 20 and read 10, it's like, ugh. But, so I, my goal is to do better with that, if somebody lets me. So, anybody read anything?
I read 2.
Okay, we'll start with you, Mike, since you volunteered.
Okay. Batman, One Dark Knight, number 1. I read that.
Is it
Jacques or Jock?
Jock.
Okay. So he wrote it and illustrated it, and it's basically a couple hour event where they're escorting
EMP.
Villain.
Yeah.
Is that a regular character? I've never heard of him before.
And it was EMP. And I thought it was like initials for something, and I'm like, what's
going on? Well, it is.
Exactly. But it's basically they're going to break this dude out. And.
But are they, or are they trying to kill him? That's, you know...
I think other gangs are trying to kill him.
But we don't know why.
Yeah.
But it was the whole basic story of, like, everybody watching this, and Batman's informed, Batman's watching going down. And the thing that was, like, kind of interesting was, like, they attacked him and blew it up, and I'm like, okay, this is over. Didn't Batman kind of rescue him? And like,
yes.
I was like, that was interesting.
Because
he was carrying him, like, oh, we got a long way to go because they're taking him to like the new jail or something.
Well, yeah, because when he exploded, all the electronics are gone.
They're gone. Yeah,
he's a literal EMP.
Yeah.
So now, you know, the Batmobile's dead. He was in the Batwing. That's dead. So the only way he can is to take him there. Now, what I found funny was when you read it, he's like, well, we got 8 hours till sunup, and it's a 4.5 mile walk from where he was. And I'm like,
carrying a dude.
Doesn't matter. And that's okay. So I'm going back to my days in the Army. You were walking 15 minute miles in full equipment with ruck. So, you know, that's carrying 100 pounds of equipment.
Yeah.
He's got 4 miles to go, which should be an hour. He's got 8 to do it, and he's Batman.
But he has people attacking.
Yeah, but there's going to be people attacking
him,
obviously.
Yeah, obviously that's going to be
interfere with his progress.
I would have given it like 2 hours to get him there to ratchet it up. Like, how does he get there?
How many issues is this going to be?
I think three.
Three? I thought it was really fun. I thought it was really interesting. And the fact that there's a new character, EMP, and...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and there's the lady who... I guess she's the director of prisons. And, you know, she wants to save everybody. She wants to coddle people as opposed to punish them. So let's get him out of Arkham and send him into Blackgate. It's like, well, Arkham is supposed to be a therapeutic environment. Blackgate's just a prison.
It's just a straight out prison where there's
so,
no rehabilitation.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where that's coming from unless she's in on it and she wanted him transferred to, you know, we're going to find out that's his daughter or something. And I said that out loud. So if it happens.
Kudos to you.
No, then that means it's poor writing, because okay. I shouldn't have guessed that this early.
The other one I read was Nightwing 87.
Yep.
This is one of the coolest issues of a comic I think I've ever read. As an artist, and knows how hard it is to just do...
Very flow. Kinetic.
Yeah.
Exactly. And to do just panel to panel and make that flow, this guy...
Yeah, all the figure drawing.
He literally took each page as one continuous flowing... image.
Yeah.
And tell the story.
Yeah, it was
as
all splash pages.
Yes.
Too.
And the whole synopsis is basically there's people out to put a hit on Dick Grayson.
Nightwing.
On Dick Grayson.
Because he got all the money.
Because he has all the money and he's trying to fix Bloodhaven. So this is going down. And this is the crazy thing. They kidnapped his dog, Haley. And
Bite wing.
Yeah. And they're just like, no, not the dog. And
really sets him off.
Exactly. And then
it'd have been cool if we'd win all John Wick on
right? And then Batgirl joins, you know, the fray. And
you notice,
like,
how she says our dog?
Our dog, yeah. Which is very cool. So that's getting even cooler in that relationship. And the favorite thing of that entire issue was the last panel of him, Nightwing and Batgirl, and the dog swinging through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that was just awesome. But I don't know how this guy planned this out. I don't know if he worked with, was it Taylor? But kudos to them. It was just
incredible. It's almost kind of worth sitting through the Fear State tie-ins just to get through that issue, because he needed that much time to draw that thing.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. If you ever get... Dave or anybody, just go pick up the issue and just look through it and just visually see what these guys do.
Yeah, because it's really one-off. Like, you won't have to really, like, worry. Like, if you just want to check it out to see what it's like, you don't have to worry about, missing. He has a dog, they take the dog, and they're getting the dog back.
You know, it even explains why he's out on him and, you know, who the dog is. So if you've never picked up an issue of Nightwing, it'll work.
Yeah.
I didn't think about doing. Somebody should go and count all the different figures through, like, you know.
And you have to look at every little piece of art in this issue because there's little things, nuances, hidden things that this guy put the time to put in. And you're like, you got to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, not just the words. You got to look at what the flow is and what the that is doing.
Yeah, it'll take you 2 minutes to read the comic, but 40 minutes to actually take in the comic.
Scan and look at everything.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
It reminded me whenever you see, like, I don't think they do it so much now because of technology, but, like, you know, the animation. Like, you know, with, like, the page moving and just slightly, you know, with each page there's a slight movement of, you know, of each character.
It also reminded me of, like, an old video game, the side-scrolling, like, Castlevania, the way it just kept moving. It just keeps moving and moving. And that's what this whole issue did. It just kept moving and moving, and it was, like, it was just brilliant.
Yeah.
So, that's all I got.
Avengers. There's two Avengers books.
I read one of them.
Came out last week. Avengers 751 and Avengers Forever. So we'll talk about those at the same time, but
Does 51 tie into a Forever?
Yeah, they're both like the Doctor Doom's put the. It's not exactly the. It's the same like overarching story. Doctor Doom's put together this multiversal Masters of Evil, and they're gonna conquer every universe, every multiverse. By starting at the beginning of time in each one. So, Avengers Forever.
We were
on Earth 818. And the Black Skull has conquered this Earth by killing Odin at the beginning of 1 million BC.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we meet, the hero of Earth 818, who is Ant-Man.
What?
But
it's Tony Stark.
Really? Why are you gonna go there? That's just wrong.
And they're Stark particles.
So Ant-Man's like the star of the book?
Yeah, in this issue, yeah.
Yeah.
And
why wasn't I told about this?
Because I just read
You should
it
have known as an
Colin,
Ant-Man fan, you should
I
just read
I bought
yesterday.
The wrong Avengers book.
Oh.
I bought the last Avengers story, thinking that was it.
Oh,
and I pre-ordered that, and I got, no. There was no hint. Well, there was sort of, but no. I'm sorry, go ahead.
He's like an archaeologist also.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like a bug, I guess.
That's
it's
the Iron Ant? Or
it's Iron Ant, but he calls it Shellhead. So he's on the
Mike's
run.
Mike's crying on the inside.
Yeah.
He's
there
on.
Any issues left?
I don't think so.
He's on the run from the War Machines, who are working for
Black
Skull.
Yeah.
And they call him the Waste Lord. Which Tony says he invented these War Machines. And then we also have Ghost Rider and Deathlok.
Right.
Are there too, because Deathlok has come back in time to warn the Avengers that what the Masters of Evil are up to.
Getting ready to attack, Mike. Stay on guard. He's vicious.
Then Ant-Man, he goes back to his underground lair, and there's some other.
He's like all these artifacts from these original Avengers that he's talking to.
Yeah, I think those are like the 1 million BC Avengers.
Now, yeah, I have a question about Mjolnir. Or whatever
meow
this
meow
one
oh,
is.
Oh, he finds, yeah. He finds
but he it, finds yeah. it, and he lifts it up, and then it falls on him, and he has to shrink down to get out from under it. But he basically scooped out the earth below it and had Iron Ant or Shellhead take it. I'm like, I don't think you can do that with Meow Meow. I don't think you could just dig out the dirt underneath it and pick it up like that.
Yeah,
I found that odd. Although, granted, it wasn't Meow Meow. It was something else. It was the All Vengeance hammer.
Yeah. So he goes back to his lair, and there's some other heroes there who he calls Earth's Mightiest Losers.
Right. And it looked like that's going to be their Avengers.
Yeah, it looks like it's Vision, Red Hulk, and Wonder Man was the three I saw. And then we have in the regular Avengers book, the Masters of Evil are after the Avengers too. This issue takes place on Asgard. Thor, he's like hitting a destroyer armor because Phoenix told him that the Phoenix force is the true birth mother of Thor. So he's working through his problems by taking out some frustration, and Tony's there with him. And Phoenix, Maya Lopez, is on the Rainbow Bridge, the Bifrost, trying to get in, but into Asgard, but Sif won't let her in. So she causes like a blackout or an energy blackout or something in Asgard, and this allows like the three of the Masters of Evil to get in there. Dark Phoenix, Berserker, is like a Wolverine from another multiverse, another universe, and Killmonger, who's in Destroyer armor. So they don't, the two books, they don't really, the stories don't really tie in except this overarching thing, but they were both just okay, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't love Avengers Forever. It just felt like another what if type story that, I didn't love it. Yeah, but it, not really.
Dave, you've read a lot of Avengers, right?
Yeah.
You've read like a good chunk of Avengers. How would you put Jason Aaron's run of Avengers like up there? Have you been enjoying it?
I don't think it's... Yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot. I don't think it's in the top, anywhere close to the top echelon.
Because like the most of the Avengers I've read was like Bendis' stuff. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And some of the small things around there, like, you know what I mean?
The Bendis stuff. And
so, but I don't know if you read...
Like, Roger Stern, I think, was writing it.
Mm. So I just didn't know how, like, as an Avenger, because I just assume you're an Avenger fan, you know?
Yeah. How... So Jason Aaron, he always, you know, he tends to go to the dark side of stuff, you know? And just
why I was kind of surprised with him being on the Avengers for so long. Yeah. You know, that didn't... seemed like something that would really suit his writing style, but he's been, because what, it's 50 issues? He's over 50 issues now?
Yeah, probably.
So.
Can't
get no Southern Bastards, though.
I know, seriously. I wish he would. Yeah, if he could give it up and write more Southern Bastards. How long has it been since that? Years?
Like 3 years, 4 years.
Trial of Magneto, number 5. Anybody read this?
I did. I must not have read 4, because I felt like I was walking into something that made no sense.
There's a lot of I had a lot of logic problems with this one.
Yeah, this...
But starting with...
That's where all of a sudden Toad was the one that murdered her. Toad, I'm like, what? Where did that come from?
Because he's mad that she broke up the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Right.
And he gets sent to the pit.
Right, but the all the Avengers see them sending him to the pit, and they're like, whoa. And then, well, you can't control their form of justice.
Yeah.
Weird. But then it gets even weirder. That's why I think I missed an issue, or unless all this is just being revealed now and didn't happen last issue.
They reveal what really happened to Wanda. That she killed herself so she could be resurrected as a way to make up for M-Day. Because now she is...
But does it really matter, though, when you can just reborn everybody?
Well, by doing this, you can even bring back people who hadn't mutated. So, like, infants could be brought back, even if they hadn't become mutants.
And before they had... if there's anybody died before they had the backups in Cerebro,
right? Now this somehow made it so that they could.
So they brought back Thunderbird.
Yeah, so Thunderbird was the first one they brought back. But yeah,
why would Toad? Yeah, was this a plan?
Or was that just part of a glamour? Was that he not really there? Was that just magic?
Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, I was reading it going,
why would Toad agree to be the fall guy for this?
Yeah,
If there was a
plan. It's making something
that's really
complicated
that's
even.
That's really evil for Wanda to do.
But see, this is what we talked about before, like with this whole X-Men thing is like, I don't know, I wouldn't have been surprised if Raper just hanging out because like who knows if that storyline when he died back in the day, if that actually happened or not. Like we don't really know, at least from the X-Men books I read, I still don't know like what actually happened and didn't happen. Yeah.
But it said something like they can bring back 250 million mutants or something like that. And it's just like,
this what this no. undoes the whole concept. Oh, put this in undoes my, instead the whole of putting... concept of the Crucible, also, which was like a really creepy issue, when they whatever issue that was of X-Men.
And say, what instead of putting them on Mars, they're gonna put them on where you could, I don't know, another planet.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just weird.
And I guess I have to talk about Joy Operations.
Oh yeah, no, I did two. Not. I only got two pages in.
Is this
in.
The best book of the year?
This is Dave's book, of the year.
Book yeah. of the year.
Yep.
Yeah. It,
on the worst list.
Number one on the worst list.
It didn't improve a whole lot. okay, so we have this woman, Joy Corrigan. She's an envoy for this city, which are called Trusts. And there's a voice in her head saying she has to kill the president of her trust because she's building her own a new trust behind everybody's back with tech they're not allowed to use. So this issue, most of it, which is talking in her head again, the voice in her head kind of like she tells the other envoys that I've been compromised. She doesn't say like how or what's going on with her. She doesn't want to give that up. I've been compromised. Something has to be done. And then the voice in her head like takes over her body, and then she just starts talking gibberish. So the voice, you know, can hide whatever. So they send her back to her. They send her back to her home. So she could power down. And then this couple walks in with a kid, and she's like living with this couple and their kid. It's just really, it's really dumb.
A lot of swear words?
Yeah, let me get to that.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm not, like I said last time, I'm not a prude. I'm not one to count swear words. But I counted the swear words in this. 10 F words of varying verbiage.
Well, all for dramatic effect, I'm sure.
Which is one every two pages. And it's just like, it just smacks of, let's put in some swear words so people think when this is
there's
an
no
adult
rules.
Book.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't
need it. Yeah.
It doesn't need them at all.
You've obviously never seen a Friday the 13th movie.
That's boobs, but that's different.
No, but that's exactly the point, is people look at that and go, no, there's got to be more deaths and more boobs in the first 10 minutes of the movie to grab somebody.
Yep. But the art's fine. Stephen Byrne does the art. I have no problem with the art. That's actually the only positive.
Will you pick up issue 3?
I don't know. Should I?
I'm going to go now.
Is it a miniseries?
Yeah, I think it's like 5 issues.
Well, for you, it's 2 issues.
You might be dead.
It's a 2-issue super mini.
But, man, nothing was good.
Is the art any better in this issue?
Yeah, yeah, the art's good.
The art was great. Yeah, no problem with the art.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally a story thing. But man, everything I've read was not fantastic at all. All right, that's it, Pat.
Okay. So the only other one that I read was Moon Knight.
I read that.
So this was interesting. So, you know, he got blown up and beat up in the last issue, and he gets rescued by an Egyptian doctor. And he doesn't like Moon Knight, but he considers him a brother because they're both sons of Khonshu.
Yeah.
And where he was going to kill him because of who he, what he grows to recognize is, so he spent his whole life looking for Khonshu, whereas Moon Knight rejects Khonshu even though he knows he's real. It's, you know, kind of, you know, you're a non-believer even though you know. But what he realizes is that while he may not necessarily agree with Moon Knight, he appreciates Moon Knight's mission, and that's why he saves Moon Knight. And then, you know, so Moon Knight's healed. No, he wants to take your seat, bitch.
No, he didn't. Probably wants it. One move the box off his water bowl.
As Moon Knight's walking through the city, a bunch of people are, oh, thank you, Mr. Knight. Thank you. You know, you helped my family with this. You helped my family with that. And the last page was actually really cool, where he was in a Mr. Knight costume. And he was just sitting in a chair with destruction all around him. And he's like, this is my mission.
Yeah.
It was just a really cool picture.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying the series. His DID is obviously a part of who he is. They don't lean heavily into it.
Yeah, not like the previous series have, but they're doing something a little bit different, you know.
No, I mean, he's in therapy, but they're clearly just trying to play it straight with... as straight as you can put it with somebody, it's a lunatic that sees Khonshu.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're playing it as straight as they can. So it's been fun.
And I think the art for the series has been pretty cool too. I think it messes with the story very, very well.
Yeah. So that's the last one I read.
That's the last one you read. The House of Slaughter. You know what I'm reading?
I read it.
All about Sergeant Slaughter.
If only.
Damn.
I enjoy it. But there's something that they're doing that it's just a little too confusing. The time jumps back and forth. Sometimes I'm like, are we in current? Because there's not enough difference visually to tell where they are.
Yeah, they've been being like a little bit taller, but depending on how it's set up, it's hard to tell.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, so I mean, I'll let you tell the story.
Well, it's just more of like... the two, is it Eric? I can't remember.
It's Eric.
And his roommate from the other house. It's in the now timeline. They're hunting a monster that, and they find that this monster is in the middle of killing a family. Yeah. And you know, only the kid can see it because, you know, as we established, only kids can see these monsters. And the parents are freaking out because, like, the dad just gets, like, picked up and, like, his head lobbed up. But it's, like, invisible. You can't see what's going on. So they're stopping from that from happening. Even though that they're supposed to be fighting each other. And stuff. So, and then in the past storyline, it's just more...
Oopsie.
More of them, they're on the run.
His assignment's to kill his roommate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, there is, they skip out of the house. They escape and they go and, like, hang out a little bit and stuff. And it's been, like, that starts to show the butt of their romance that they lean on heavier in the future part of the storyline. So,
well, my favorite piece of artwork in that whole issue was the little girl holding the arm.
Yeah, she just came.
One of her dismembered siblings, or
I think it was her mom. I think.
So she's just holding on the arm and wouldn't let go of the arm.
Taking the point to the woman had the guy, give me that.
He's like, yeah, give me that. You don't need that.
Justice League Incarnate 2 was okay. It's more of them just, you go, they end up going to the Earth, I forget which one it is, but where it's like, they're all like monster vampires, versions of all the heroes and stuff, like, the demon is Superman, and stuff like that. It was okay. But again,
is that a mini?
Yeah, it's just another mini. And then, Robbins.
I read it. If you could explain it to me, I would be very appreciative. Oh,
do you want to get down? Pop up again, Mike. He might want a drink.
So, the after the from the first issue, when the man that shows up that says that they like that dies in Grayson's apartment, they decide to go because they've done some information and they go into Batman to like, oh hey, if you cross reference this with stuff in the back computer, you know, we should be able to find out who this is. And he doesn't want to do it because he's been like compromised.
He's hacked or something.
Yeah, so he doesn't want to, and he doesn't know how far down it goes and stuff like that. So he doesn't want to use the back computer, and he doesn't want them to go any farther with the investigation because, like he said, he doesn't know.
So all the background files, that's from the bat computer?
I'm guessing.
Okay, that's the only thing I wasn't like, completely sure about. Okay.
And so Batman has some Justice League business, so he teleports away, and he's like, so don't, you know, don't do anything. And Nightwing's like, yes, sir, yeah, we're not going to do anything. As soon as he's gone, he's like, all right, guys, let's go. So they wouldn't be tracked by Batman, Stephanie has a minivan that they all get
what
into.
What do they call it, though? The spoiler-mobile?
Yeah, something like
and it's
that.
It's just like this old rickety, like, black van.
Yeah. So they're driving around, and, like, throughout the issue, we are getting sprinkled of, like, different moments of each Robin, like, whenever, like, with Nightwing, it was, to, like, graduate, Nightwing, when he was Robin, had to elude Batman for 6 hours while in Gotham. And in the middle of this, he finds, like, a crime boss that does something, and instead of getting a hold of Batman to tell him what's going on, he continues with the mission and leaves clues for Batman so he can solve it while, and so, like, he passes. And then, you know, so they do that with just one of them. Well, most of them pass. Stephanie fails because she was only, like, Robin for, like, a couple issues, I think, back in the day.
Yeah.
And then Damien, he hasn't been decided yet if he's passed or failed yet. But then so they go to the cemetery because Red Hood knows a guy who's able to, like, fence, like, like rare, very rare things or something like that that worked at a crematorium. So they go there and they run into the what was the name of the group? It was like
the old sidekicks of like Joker, Catwoman. They're like reject sidekicks.
Yeah. And so they start finding them and they're like, you know, team missions is like, you know, take these guys down and find out what's going on, and then second mission is protect them from Red Hood, because Red Hood's just going in full blast. And so they take them out pretty easily. There's these two sidekicks of the Joker, and they run into this building, so Red Hood runs after them, and as he's getting ready to corner them, they hit these, like, things on their wrist, and it looks like it digitally makes them look like the Joker
at the end.
And which I don't know if I would want to do that to Red Hood, because I would think that would just make
trigger
me
trigger him.
Yeah, I just want to kill you a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit more. Yeah.
But it was all right. The art, I think, got a little wonky in some of the spots, but like I said, it's like not supposed to be in any kind of continuity or anything like that. But it was pretty good. Radiant Black. So after, because the last issue was the Black Light issue, if you got that edition, but even if you didn't get that edition, it was very trippy, cool art to it and stuff like that. But so, not Nate, but what's the other guy's name?
Marshall.
Whenever he comes back from inside the void thing, or talking to the computer, or, you know, that where he gets his powers from, he's been gone for 6 weeks. So everybody's mad at him, like all of Nate's family members and friends and stuff are mad at him because they think that he just went and left right when he was about to die, not knowing that he's the one who saved his life.
He gets fired from his job.
He gets fired from his job. He almost, he has to go talk to his teacher about making a whole bunch of stuff up and like that. So what he's dealing with that, we find out that there are more people with that are getting like these powers and things like that. And now, so now we get introduced to this lady who uses like sound or volume or something like that to help her. She's sick. She has, I don't think, is it cancer? Is it? She has some.
I think so. She's a teacher, right?
Yeah. So, but they eventually end up getting into a fight whenever he, whenever he starts to get back into people and he starts getting in contact with the rest of the, all the different colored radiants and stuff like that. And the pink one wants in, she's trying to get more followers on, you know, social media and stuff. So they decide to do like a team up thing, and that's when they run into her. And after they get done fighting, he decides to give her like another chance of like, go and don't do this again, you know, and stuff. And then
this is the first time he's seen Nathan since he's woken up, right?
Yeah, because they said he was gone for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So whenever he comes back, he's like in the middle of like physical therapy and learning how to walk and stuff like that. And then so the issue ends with like Nathan's been having trouble sleeping and stuff, and so Marshall has this sound cloud from that lady who they let go. So he goes to start to listen to it, and it seems like he gets connected back to the aliens or machines or whatever is in charge of like the powers and stuff that they have.
Yeah, that was a good final page of that. That was a good final page.
So like we were talking about before before the podcast started, that it's pretty clean, like kind of setting up the next, you know, like story arc and stuff like that.
That's good.
And then the last one I'll talk about is Amazing Spider-Man.
I read that one.
Is it weekly?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, between the Spider-Man and the Beyond issues and stuff like that, yeah, it's pretty much weekly.
I think he's going to fit right in.
Yeah, he's so soft.
He is super soft, yeah. But he just, we got out, we went out, and then he got down again, he wanted a drink, and then he walked around the table, and now he's sitting next to Pat and Spencer.
Like,
and just
these
like,
guys haven't petted
just like
yet.
He belongs, but I mean, this is all new to him. This is day two. But yeah, I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah. But so Spider-Man, this is all of an issue of Peter in the hospital, of, you know, he's awake, but, you know, he's still very weak, and
and the creepy orderly comes in and takes away his roommate.
Yeah, and it's like every time he's getting ready to fall asleep, either one of his roommates are trying to talk to him, or Mary Jane shows up so he doesn't want to try to sleep, or she's there and stuff like that. And, like, so he has a couple roommates, and each one of them are getting taken away. Like, one of them thinks that, you know, he's supposed to be getting released. He's like, no, you have to come with me. Very sorry, very sorry, but mistake, or, you know, he keeps on repeating this thing over, and he takes him away, and eventually the guy goes to take Peter and takes him down to, like, the basement of the hospital, where it's all dark, and in the shadows, he turns into this big creature thing, and, like, he's getting ready, and, you know, we see, like, skulls, like, bloody skeletons all over the floor of the hospital there. And he picks up Peter's arm, and he's getting ready to, like, bite into it. And Mary Jane shows up and, like, uses, like, either the camera.
Well, he says something like the only thing that can, you know, that hurts is light, because there's, like, some light coming through a window.
Yeah.
And she's like, thanks for telling me that, and uses the flash on the phone, and that stuns him.
Enough.
But then the next part, I just shook my head.
Oh, well, whenever she starts chasing him and
Sees some lights, so she goes in. It's like an operating room lights. And as he gets in, she just happens to find the button and turns them on because they're all plugged in the sub-basement. And that fries him, and then he leaves. And I'm like, this issue did nothing.
Yeah.
It was like a weird horror movie issue.
Yeah, it was very weird, and like they didn't you know, I wasn't expecting, like, all of, like, I thought, like, you know, maybe he would have saved the roommates. Like, you know, maybe
right,
they would have been.
Right, he didn't save it. Yeah, and it was funny because earlier in the week, Tom Taylor did a post about there's no filler comics. He's seen people writing about filler. Mm-hmm. And there's no filler comics because, you know, it takes just as much work, yada, yada, yada. But it's just kind of funny. It's like, yeah, this was a filler issue.
Yeah.
There was nothing to this to advance the plot.
I mean, at first I was kind of like the idea, just like, oh, this is going to be... You know, this seemed more of like a Beyond issue.
Right,
because
everything
actual...
else is focused on Ben, yeah. And this one was completely focused on Peter.
Yeah.
But to just be a weird horror movie, pastiche.
Yeah. Oh, and then the last couple pages you see... Misty Knight and Carlene Wing, they're in the sewers looking for something, and they turn a corner and the lizard's there. So.
But I'm like, Killer Croc?
Yeah, he looked very Killer Croc-y. Yeah. But that was the last thing.
Okay, I read two. One I read for Brandon. Sorry, I did. I was two pages in. But The Righteous Thirst for Vengeance, which was interesting because the last issue ended with him and this other hitman showing up at this lady's house.
I'd say, how is Wong in this issue?
Yeah, it is Wong. It turns out Wong is not an assassin. He is actually there to thwart the assassins. And he stopped the guy from killing her, and through a grand thing, he ends up killing the guy with a car key, which was weird. Stabbed him in the neck and he bled out. But then the bad guy had knocked her out, so he takes her and they drive away. But it was interesting, and there's very few words, but it was good. It was interesting, a little turn in the issue. But the next one was my favorite one, and this might be a candidate for best. It's a best of candidate. It's too early to say though. But Chicken Devil number 3.
I read that too.
Was fantastic. So at the end of last issue, if you remember, the guy's family has been killed because his business partner went in with the mob to sell cocaine or something.
So the guy in Chicken Suit's family got killed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, his business partner and his... So he accidentally killed a guy. Well, guy shot himself. He didn't kill him, but
yeah.
In the gym. And then
a lot of mishaps.
Yeah, yeah. Then he meets up with his partner at a motel and... they blow his partner away,
yeah.
And he's sitting there hiding in the chicken suit. And they're like, take him, and they beating him up, and he's gonna... I forget why. Did they let him go? Something happened.
Yeah.
He shot the one guy.
Yeah, because they have him in the van. So
and he crashed.
Shot them and makes them crash.
Right.
And then he takes their phone, and
right.
Somebody calls, and he picks up... pretending to be the person
he killed.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, we're going to have the party at the same place. And you got everybody to get an Uber because we're going to get so wasted. Mm. Yeah, okay. Well, then he hits the Uber thing on the guy's phone, and it tells him where the party was. So he goes there. It's like in a sky zone.
Okay.
So he goes and he dumps the dead bodies in the ball pit, but the pit with all the
trampolines.
Cubes.
Mm. Oh, okay.
That you jump into. He dumps it there, and then so they're all going and he calls the phone, and so it's ringing, and they're all like, "What's ringing?" And they go in, then they find that, and then he's threatening the guy, and he's like, "No, you already killed me. You took my family. You took my business. I have nothing left. You have killed me. So what are you going to do to me that's worse than
that?" Didn't he set off like a small explosion?
Oh, yeah.
Then,
well, he had put one of his deep fryers down in there, and or a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And it exploded. But, yeah, it just... But then the twist ending is he comes home, and his family's there. They haven't been killed.
Yeah, because not only in the chicken outfit, but when he goes to, like, because he goes kind of full Rambo
his
body.
He
puts, like, he has the chicken suit on, but he also has, like, body
armor and stuff.
And stuff like that. So he comes home, and he's, like, getting something out of the fridge, and he hears a noise, so he just starts firing.
Yeah.
And he turns, and the lights turned on, and there's his family standing there. So he's done all this
for nothing.
Yeah.
But it was very just you didn't know where it was going. That's what I like about this book. You have no idea where it's going, and it's a standard like Robert Ludlum thing where it's a guy out of place. Mm. He's in a situation he has no skills, no preparation for, totally out of place.
I can definitely see this being like a book club book.
Yeah, this has been really, you're looking at that first one going, what the hell is this? But now we're on issue 3, and it's like. Yeah.
Because I think, what, is it only one, or is it four or five?
Probably five would be my guess. I don't think they could wrap this up in one. But yeah, Brian Buccellato is the writer who we had here as a guest.
Yeah.
So, I really enjoyed that book. That was a lot of fun. Unexpected fun, you know. Those are my favorite books. The ones you don't expect to be that great. Was it last year? Maybe it was even this year that, it was Star Something from Mad Cave, which was just a bizarre little book.
Yeah, and the art for Chicken Devil is just so...
Oh, yeah, it's perfect.
So out there. But, like, it's hard to explain.
It's hard to explain, but it's not cartoony, but not photorealistic, mm-hmm. But it fits perfect, you know, when you're drawing a guy in a giant Chicken Devil costume, you know, but it doesn't look ridiculous, it just looks...
Looks right.
Yeah, but it's good. The only bad thing that they had was, it wasn't Uber, they called it Ferry, but it was F-E-R-Y, and I'm like, are you an idiot? Why? It's not Ferry with one R, but then you realize it's an app that he pushes. It's like, okay. Because at first I'm like, the letterer botched. So, but that was, that was good. That was the last one I read.
So what's and coming out next
and
week,
the first
Colin?
Two pages of Joy Division. So I learned last week, I have to be careful because what was on my DC thing that I had on Wednesday was not what was actually in the box. So from everybody else, we have Bylines in Blood, which I'm guessing looks to be an Aftershock book. It's kind of funny. There's not a lot on this invoice, but it's a long invoice because I think I have 5 Dynamite books.
They're 25 covers each.
Yeah. So we have Deja Thoris versus John Carter, A through M. We have Elvira meets Vincent Price, A through K. Evil Ernie, A through J. The Fourth Man, I think, is an AWA book.
Yes.
So that's coming next week. Jennifer Blood, A through P covers. Noctera Special, the I don't remember that's the guy's name, but yeah.
That's the black guy.
Yeah.
Junkyard something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, it doesn't say, it just says Noctera Special.
Yeah, it's been...
Is anybody reading Nita Hawes' Nightmare blog? That's next week. Number 3 is next week of that. Not All Robots, number 5, which I'm guessing is the last issue, because I just ordered the trade. Panther, number 1, and that is A through U. We also have Red Sonja, number 5, A through P. So there's I'm like, there's not that much coming out, but... And it's funny because I order one of each, so it's 1, 1, 1, 1. So, yeah, it's a lot of stuff that doesn't add up to a lot. And then from Marvel, we have, you're not going to believe this, Spencer. Hold your horses.
Spider-Man?
Amazing Spider-Man 84.
Wow. Yeah.
We have Elektra, Black, White, and Blood, which is a little anthology book of Elektra stories. Inferno 4, wrapping up that. And we'll see how that wraps up. Marvel Previews, which didn't come today, go with the previews, so they're coming next week. The Darkhold Omega, number 1, wrapping up that storyline. Wastelander's Doom, continuing that. And X-Men 6. And then from DC, supposedly, we have the next issue of Batman, 119. Dark Knights of Steel, number 3. Detective Comics, 1047. That's now weekly.
Is that the Shadow of the Bat?
Yeah.
I saw someone was supposed to be like a 12-parter.
Right.
Yeah. So hopefully after that 12-part, it will go back to normal.
Justice League Incarnate 3. Wasn't 2 last week?
I talked about it, but I didn't really.
So 3, and then book Dave is very interested in. Let's see, can you think of a DC book that you might be very interested in? Mike as well.
Wonder Twins Reunited?
No. Close.
It's not Nice House on the Lake.
No, it's not. It's One Star Squadron.
One Star Squadron, yes.
Great. I knew you'd both be. See, I know you guys. But that's what's coming out next week. Hopefully, I can get my act together and start doing all the stuff I've been wanting to do. Just little things, postings, some research stuff. I want to do some blogging. I have lots of ideas that have been around for a while. But 2022 is the year I'm going to make it happen. Are you happy there, buddy? I think we have a good... Yeah. I think he actually answered me.
Yeah.
Should have started coming to the podcast a long time.
Yeah. But I think he's going to be happy here. I really do. He seems to fit in quite well.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah. And Marley's like, what, man? You're not petting me.
She's over there. She comes sit right here. I got two hands.
Yeah.
Facebook's PittsburghComics.com. Or Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics. Website's PittsburghComics.com. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Get questions into us. We're stuck.
We need especially 23 point part questions.
Well, yeah, come on, Empty. So I think that's all we got. Happy New Year. This will go up Thursday before the New Year. Yay. And then hopefully we can have a smashing 2022. So.
We're not a smashing.
I would watch our world.
It'll be the year of our 500th episode.
Oh, it will. Yes.
Little cake.
I'll see what I can do. Yeah. So we will talk at you later. See ya. Oh, wait, no. Dave. Oh, go for it.
And that's the last podcast of 2021.
There we go. See ya.